League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Raven will be back on Friday. He's on vacation. And when he gets back, the jackpot for Can't Beat Raven, that's the pop culture trivia game we play, is going to be up to $1,300.
I'm going to play this week. We're going to win this money. I could use it.
Well, you're not allowed to play. Wow. Joining me, it's Chef Plum. He's a good friend of mine, and he's been sitting in since Raven went on vacation last week. How does it feel to be back on a Monday?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's Monday.
Yes, of course. But I giggled today because I woke up and I go into the internet to see what's trending and what's happening in the news. And guess what was trending?
What? Tell me.
Something that I'm sure you'll have a lot of thoughts on.
I can't wait to hear it.
America's favorite sandwich.
Okay.
So they took a poll because yesterday was National Sandwich Day to find out what is America's favorite sandwich.
Wow. I mean, I have to really think about that. I mean, I have a lot of different answers for that, but
before I reveal the answers.
Okay.
Is a hamburger a sandwich?
A hamburger?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, you must listen to my podcast because we have this back and forth. Yes, 100% it's a sandwich. Matter of fact, I call it a hot dog sandwich.
Okay. How do you classify what is a sandwich and what's not?
Fantastic. Great question. Love to clarify it for you.
Thank you.
If it is two pieces of bread with some sort of protein in between them, that, my friends, is a sandwich. Now, you may say to yourself, what if it's a vegetarian sandwich? Doesn't have protein in the middle of it. Okay, fair enough. But you're still putting something in place of that protein to make a sandwich out of it. So in my brain, two pieces of bread, something in between it with condiments, we call it a sandwich.
Do you know that I 100% agree with you?
I thought you were going to definitely disagree with me.
No, 100%. Hamburgers are sandwiches. Hot dogs are sandwiches. Anything that has two pieces of bread, something in the middle, is a sandwich.
Here's the problem, though. Mm-hmm. Soft tacos. Are they sandwiches?
Soft tacos are not sandwiches. They're tacos.
I'm just saying.
That's
like,
why they're called
under
tacos.
That definition, it could be considered a sandwich.
No, it's not bread.
Is it?
A corn tortilla or a flour tortilla is not bread.
That's the whole other conversation itself.
Okay, well, we're going to save that conversation for another time. Wait, but do you think tacos are sandwiches?
I don't know. Like, I literally racked my brain over this. Under what we've set the pretense for sandwiches to be, the definition of it,
yeah.
Technically that would make a taco a sandwich. I don't agree with it. I don't think I agree with it. But in my brain, I mean, listen, what do you make bread out of? Flour. What's a flour tortilla made out of? Flour.
No, I think there's a difference.
Bread. Technically still bread.
Yeah, no, I'm going to lose sleep over that too. But all right, let's get to America's favorite sandwich. Let's see if you agree. Coming in, number three, the turkey sandwich.
Yeah, listen, turkey sandwiches are great. A little bit of lettuce, mayo, salt, pepper. Are you kidding me? What's more delicious than a turkey sandwich?
Coming in number two, which is my personal favorite sandwich, a chicken sandwich. And that includes the fried chicken sandwich.
Like a chicken cutlet type situation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or like a fast food fried chicken sandwich. Oh my gosh, it's like my favorite thing in the whole world that I miss so much.
It's so delicious, no question.
Yeah. What fast food place has the best fried chicken sandwich?
See, this is a tricky question because I don't eat fast food anymore. But, and not trying to sound on my high horse, it's just because I'm trying to keep my girlish figure going.
It's true. You would never believe it, but Plum is down to 97 pounds.
I don't even like you anymore. You're so mean to me. You're so mean to me. If I had to pick, I mean, obviously you could say the classic Chick-fil-A sandwich, but I think it's more about what the ingredients are that make it great. You have to have some kind of sauce, nice crispy chicken. I like something spicy on there and pickles. If you don't have pickles, stop wasting my time.
My favorite is the Burger King chicken sandwich.
Oh, the lettuce and the mayo, the long joint, right?
The one that looks like a football. Oh my gosh, just throw it in my mouth, please.
Are you kidding me? Those are delicious. Popeyes is great too.
And the number one favorite sandwich of Americans is grilled cheese.
All right. Again, here's my problem. Grilled cheese does not fall into the category of sandwich based on our definitions we set before.
Because there's no protein? Isn't cheese a protein?
It doesn't have any condiments. You don't put anything else on the grilled cheese. It's cheese in bread.
But it's still in between two pieces of bread.
Then why would we just call it cheese bread? Why do we have something called cheese bread then?
No matter what side you're on, I'll tell you this. I wish I had one right now. Is there a right or wrong way to shop a grocery store when you walk in the front door?
I mean, I think so. I tell you, as a private chef, I feel like I'm a professional shopper.
I mean, you're always at the grocery store. Whenever we're doing anything, you're like, I have to go to the grocery store today anyway. And I guess it makes sense. Chef Plum is in for Raven. Like, when you walk in, is there a way that you go? Because my husband and I always argue about which side you start on. And he always goes in the middle first, which makes no sense to me, where he like goes and he gets like all the like the snacks before we reach the produce or the frozen.
Okay, so kind of. I mean, going in the middle kind of makes sense to me. Let me tell you why. So I buy all of my proteins first, right? So I go, I know I've got to get chicken, I've got to get steak or, you know, salmon. I'm going to go get all of that first.
Why? Because then it doesn't it just sit in the cart too long and then it gets old or no?
Well, how long do you think it's going to sit? You're going to be in the grocery store for 5 hours? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's there for a little. She goes, So grocery stores are, it's funny. So I get my my proteins mm-hmm. and then I build around the proteins. So that's just how my head works when I'm in the store, right? Because I'm buying like one meal at a time. But the second my wife, if I'm shopping for work, my wife texts me and says, hey, can you pick up something else? Messes me all up. I can't do it. I can only shop one list at a time.
I do like the idea of, because sometimes like in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to like, this is going to be taco week or this is going to be right. like, I'll make chicken on Tuesday. And I start in like the, I always start where the fruits and the vegetables are and the produce. And then sometimes I get to the meat and it doesn't look good, or even worse is like lately it's so expensive.
It is.
And I'm like, I don't want to spend this much money. And then I got to go back and start like, right. I'm like, well, it's not going to be taco night this week. All right, we're not going to have steak this week, you know? So it does make sense to start with the proteins. All right, so once you do the proteins, then what do? You build over to the produce?
So I head to the produce usually, or my starches, right? And maybe sometimes the starches are with the protein or with the produce if I'm doing like potatoes or something. If I need rice, I'll go with where the rice is. Yeah, I think it's really important to know the grocery store, like to know the store you're going to. Go to the same store all the time because you'll be surprised how much faster and efficient that makes you.
Nothing makes me more upset than when I walk into a grocery store and I don't know where everything is.
It's annoying.
It's annoying. And then you feel like you don't want to ask questions like a loser. Like you feel awkward asking.
And then also, too, the funny part is you're like, oh, where is this? Where is this? If you just look up, there are signs that tell you what's in each aisle. What's true, but no one ever looks at them.
All right. So obviously frozen goes last, right?
Frozen goes last.
And how about the bakery? When do you shop the bakery?
I mean, I think it's all the same. It's either going to sit there in the bakery or it's going to sit in your car. What's the difference?
All right. What's the number one way to save money? Because groceries are so expensive right now. What do you do?
Yeah. So it's difficult. But I think the easiest thing to do is to have a few go-to meals that you know you're good at.
Yeah.
You know how to make and you know how to make easily and make them on a consistent basis. And then the reason why it's easier and it saves money because there's less waste.
I always think that my family gets bored because we have tacos on Tuesdays, you
right.
know? And then
it's
realized it's very exciting. Exciting for me because it's just, you know, it's as easy as it can possibly get.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is I don't think they care, right?
No,
it's
I don't
like
think they care.
It's like raviolis on Thursday.
No, they don't care. But I think the key thing is when you're making like you're doing your taco night, right? Your mm-hmm. taco night, make enough chicken or ground beef to do a quesadilla the next night. So that way you're using a lot of the stuff you had left over from one dinner to make for another dinner. I do that all the time.
You use coupons when you go grocery shopping?
Everything. Do people still use coupons? I have a little card at the grocery store. Because, you know, everyone wants to have like, oh, do you have your card to shop here?
Yeah. No, I know you get all those deals. And I know that if you have the app, it seems like lately the app is what everybody wants you to use to save money.
Right.
But I was wondering, is anybody still walk in there with the hand clip coupons from the Sunday newspaper?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Right.
I've never seen anybody do that.
I'm going to say that's pretty much over now. Maybe.
It's got to be. It's got to be over. But yeah. So just I think a big thing is if you can spread your one cooking day into 2 days, you'll save a lot of money doing that.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Chef Plum, I'm so excited. It is back. Anna and Raven's Roadshow.
This is so fun to listen to. You guys do a really good job with this. And if there's any experts in the world when it comes to anything, it's definitely you and Raven.
Right. Well, that's not true.
That was sarcasm.
Yeah, I get it. We certainly are not the experts. But Ryan Breckland from Nest Egg Auctions, he is. And he has been so generous that usually a couple times a year he'll come in and he's an expert appraiser. And
yeah.
That's what he does. So you send us pictures and information that you have on items that you have around your home that you have no idea what they're worth. He'll take a look at them. He highlights usually about 10 of them. And we go on the air with it. It's our own little roadshow.
I am going to go in my garage when I get home and take some photos. I'm going to go through that old box of antiques from Grandma's house. I'm telling you, I got some treasures down there somewhere.
We find stuff. We get a lot of paintings. Please don't send a whole lot of paintings.
High school theater trophies. How about that?
They're definitely not worth anything, oh. Plum, as well, my professional opinion.
To me.
So this is a flashback of one of the times that somebody sent in a sign.
So this sign is actually super rare. So there's lots and lots of bond bread signs. They made little things that went on the door pushes, things that went on the countertops. But this would be a large sign that went on the outside of a building, was meant to be out in the elements. And I actually could not find another publicly sold example of this particular sign.
Wow.
Which would make it pretty rare, $1,000 to $2,000.
$1,000 to $2,000 for a sign that had been cut in half that's been sitting in their basement for years and they had no idea what it was.
I mean, okay, $1,000 to $2,000, but isn't it really only worth, my mom should tell me when I collect the baseball cards, it's only really worth what someone will pay for it.
Right, but they know. They know. These experts know what somebody's willing to pay for it. We've had, a lot of things that are $1,000 to $2,000, $5,000 to $7,000. We had one time, a woman had a sculpture. She had no idea what it was worth.
Okay.
And it was worth about $750,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he like offered to like go work with her in Paris to do the providence. Yeah, to do like basically do the research on it to verify.
Awesome.
But I have to tell you something, you can't make fun of me.
Uh-oh. That's never a good start when Anna Zapp says something.
Well, two things. One, every year I show him my Beanie Babies just in case, because I have like a collection of Princess Diana Beanie Babies.
You just said that in public?
No, every year I just double check to make sure they're not worth anything yet, because I'm saving them for retirement and to pay for my daughter's to go to college. But anyway, besides that, I've always wanted to be an auctioneer.
Have you really?
Yeah. So I can do it really well. I wasn't going to say anything until Ryan got here, but he's having a huge Black Friday auction at his establishment.
Does that mean there's discounts?
No, it means they're auctioning for the highest bid on antique liquors, and he's going to let me do it.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we're going to be able to live stream the entire
thing.
I
want to go.
You can come. 100% you can come.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And it's a tasting, too. So we're going to be doing a live auction there. I'm going to be streamed all over the country if you want to watch
Incredible.
It. And I hope I don't screw it up, because this is like a real thing. It's not like just raising money for charity or helping out friends at their school functions or anything like that.
I think you'll do a fantastic job.
We'll see. But anyway, the most important part is that you have the next week to submit your items. Mm-hmm. So you can go to annaandraven.com, click on Anna and Raven Roadshow. There's some information there. It'll tell you how to email me directly. Send me as many pictures as you can of the item, a short write-up of everything you know about it, and I'm going to forward it to Ryan, and he'll pick about 10 items to get highlighted next week.
Yeah, what a great chance. If you've had some piece of something, some artwork or a sculpture or something sitting in your basement, your garage, your attic, what a great chance, an opportunity to finally see if it's worth something.
What's the biggest mistake you made as a parent? Trending is Tom Hanks admits that he was a knothead as a father.
He says,
I quote, "I made every mistake. You scar the kids somehow in the exact same way." And I heard that and I can't even imagine Tom Hanks being a terrible father. But his son, Chet, remember, that kid's gotten in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you don't picture Tom Hanks being that guy, but I guess, it kind of makes sense. He's probably not around very much. It's not like he's always making movies and stuff. A knothead. I used to always think, too, with my kids, and my twins are 17, and my youngest is 14 now. And as they were growing up, we always joked, "There's no instruction manual. Give me those ribs, you.
Yeah.
But something would happen, and I'd always look at my wife, and I'd be like, "Oh, that's going to leave a mark later, or that one's going to come back and get us after a while." Once they get a little older, they'll remember that one.
When you do something dumb.
I would just constantly think of the terrible things that something like that would happen with, and I don't know, man. Like, we all make mistakes, but the other thing is you got to remember, I think kids are durable. Kids are tough, We can't think that every little thing is going to mess them up forever.
Gosh, I think about it. Chef Plum is sitting in for Raven. Raven's on vacation this week. He'll be back Friday. And you have three girls.
Yeah.
So being a girl dad is certainly not easy. And I'm a girl mom. I have two girls myself. And I try to think, what's the biggest mistake I've made as a mother? And I don't know if it's a mistake. I battle myself with this, but every fear that I've had, I've instilled in my children.
Mm-hmm.
So I am afraid of haunted houses. My older daughter won't go near a haunted house.
Really?
Yeah, I'm terrified. She won't go anywhere near
one.
Wow,
how about that?
I'm afraid of swimming deep. My older daughter won't go deep into, even though she's an incredible swimmer, won't go deep into the ocean. I don't like waves. She doesn't like waves.
Okay.
It's all those little fears that I have that I've somehow, I don't know how I did it, but now she has those fears too. And I regret that I did that, because I was always the mom that was like,
right,
"You're too far out, come back in." And then now she's the exact same way.
Well, I think a lot of it is too, just your situation, because there's such an age gap in between your daughters. Like, she was kind of a single kid for a long time, mm-hmm. only child for a while. So I think we tend to be more protective over that, mm-hmm. You make sure she doesn't go too far in the ocean, like you said, or be out in the woods too long, whatever, right? With my daughters, it was more like, if one of them falls and gets hurt, the other one's still fine. We're good. You know.
Like, because you have a spare kid.
Yeah.
You're like, who cares? Well, when something happens to one, we still got this other one over here.
One of the hilarious stories, when my youngest was born, we were excited. She was born. Came home from the hospital and realized we had no place for her to sleep. Like, we hadn't bought anything for a baby. We had nothing. We're like, oh, I guess I got to go to Target and get a crib. We don't have one.
How does that happen?
Because it's our third kid. We aren't thinking about it.
That's wild to me.
It's hilarious.
I know. It's an interesting thing. Like, the biggest mistake you made as a parent. If I had to pinpoint one thing, though.
Is there one thing?
I don't.
Or is it a series of little things here and there?
It's a series of little things here and there. But the best advice I ever got was when they finally talked to you, don't give advice. Ask them if they want your advice or if they just want you to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super important because I think my first reaction always is, I have to make this okay.
Yeah.
I have to tell her what to do. And that's not the answer. Sometimes they just want you to listen and be quiet. And that was hard for me because, as you can tell, I'm never quiet.
Yeah, I'm surprised you still actually breathe. You say so many words at once. Same thing as a father, though. Like, my instinct immediately is to fix the issue.
Right.
I want to fix it, right? Well, my girls don't want me to fix it all the time. They just want me to tell me about it and let me listen to it and let them fix it.
Or unless it's their car broken, then yes, you can fix it.
No, that's true.
Think about all the times you've thought to yourself, if I only had a personal chef, how easy my life would be. Chef Plum is joining me all this week while Raven is on vacation. Six-time Emmy-nominated chef. You had a TV show. You're on Food Network. You do all these celebrity gigs and a celebrity chef, but you're also a personal chef. And I have to tell you something. For the million years that I've known you,
right,
you have never disclosed to me who is this family that you privately cook for.
Well, guess what, Anna? I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of keeping secrets. Today is the day I'm going to tell you.
Is it? You're lying.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I can't do it.
So they make you sign an NDA to do. How does it work?
So, well, yes, when you work with a family, a family of, you know, who is someone that
of stature,
right? I'm trying to use my words carefully there, if you can tell.
Yeah,
but yeah, you sign an NDA just because, you know, you don't want to talk about it a whole lot because you don't want to bring people's names up, which, by the way, makes it incredibly difficult to get the next client if you ever have to get another one, because you can't, like, have them call for a reference because it just doesn't work like that, you know. So I think when you work for the clientele that I work with, like, hopefully most of the time people do know that. But I've done a few clients where they're like, oh, can you give us a reference to your last employer? I'm like, no.
It's so sad.
I can't. I'm sorry. You know, you're not going to call them. It just doesn't work that way. But
listen, it Beyonce?
It's not
just
Beyonce.
Blink. Just blink.
It's not Beyonce. Okay. It's not Beyonce. It's not. But the people I work with are super, super cool. I love them so much. I mean, we're very, very close. I actually married them 2 years ago.
Did you really?
You were the efficient? I was the efficient.
Right, so I have random questions as a personal chef. So, like,
wait,
do you?
Anna Zapp has random questions? No.
Things that I've always wondered, because I always said if I won the lottery, I would have a personal chef.
Right.
Like, I want somebody to come, like, cook my meals and make them healthy but still delicious.
Sure.
And all the things that, like, I can't do and I don't know how to do and whatever.
That's what I do.
So do they give you, like, a list of this is what we want to eat this week, or do you give them a menu? Like, how does it work?
So I used to make menus, and I would toil over it, like making menus. What am I going to make this week? This is the same thing I made last week. You're just trying to make things different. And she's like, you know, she is in the art world. And she's like, stop, just go get whatever you want and just create and do things. And I'm like, awesome. And there's a few parameters I have to stay in based off of, like, you know, what needs are or dietary needs or things. But it's very, very minimal. And I'm fortunate. A lot of private chefs have massive dietary things they have to follow. And I've had clients where I've had to. I actually had a client once who was a Broadway actor who would call me every morning at 5:30 a.m., Anna, to tell me what he was allergic to that day.
Every day changes?
Daily.
We're going to talk about it this week because I know I mentioned it to you casually, but you know that I have celiac.
Yeah.
I'm dairy free.
Right.
I have CSID, so I know you probably don't know that because it's rare.
No.
There's so many things I can't eat. And because Dakota, my little one, is severely nut allergic, now we're a nut free house. So all I eat is popcorn and grilled chicken.
I was going to say, what do you eat? Just communion wafers?
That's it. Every day. On Sunday, when I go to church, I just stock up on them. I take them home with me. That's it.
So terrible.
I can't even eat those. I don't think they're made of rice flour or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but it's wild. So we're going to get to that later in the week so you can figure out things that I can actually eat. It's one of the reasons why I wanted you to come with me this week because
I thought it was because I was your friend. You enjoy hanging out with me. It's very self-serving.
You're cheaper than a nutritionist.
Oh, yeah, geez, that's thanks it. A lot.
Yeah. During the pandemic, the one thing I learned that Chef Plum could do really well is look into your pantry or your fridge, like from a video. Remember, we used to do it live on Instagram, Plum?
It was unbelievable. You would show me all the minimal things in your kitchen, and I'll tell you what you could make with it.
It's true. I would have like four things. So give Chef Plum three ingredients that you have in your fridge or your pantry, and he'll tell you what to make with it.
It's a superpower. I'm telling you, I can make anything out of anything.
All right, Cindy, go ahead.
I have some rice, some ground turkey, and some feta cheese.
Oh, rice. I mean, this is great.
These are people who are giving you easy stuff.
I know. We're not even getting difficult here. Do you have any kind of vegetables in the fridge?
Yes, I have some carrots.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Anna just made a face like someone stepped on her foot. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Mm. Listen, so we've got, is the turkey already cooked or no?
No, it's not.
Awesome. Okay, so take those carrots and we're going to chop them up. You can do a dice. You can put them into a cheese grater if you want. Chop them up. We're then going to put them in a pan and saute them or cook them in a pan with a little bit of olive oil, salt, and the ground turkey. Cook that all together to make that nice little mixture there. Don't be afraid to throw a little bit of butter in there as well to add a little more fat to it. Ground turkey itself is generally very, very lean.
Here's the one thing I'm going to tell you.
Here we go.
Cindy, about Plum. He doesn't cook healthy.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you can, but you never do. Every time we're doing something, you're like, add more salt, add more butter, add more this. And I'm like, I don't know.
Listen, there's a lot of studies out there right now that show that what people think about salt and what we've always thought is completely wrong.
Okay, now you're going to challenge the scientists?
I will, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm a big guy.
All right, fair enough. So take all the butter you have in your fridge.
No, that's not what I said.
6 to 7 pounds.
That's not what I said.
And mix it right in that ground turkey.
Just throw one little pat of butter in there, one little slice off the butter stick, put it right in there. Don't use margarine. That stuff's gross.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter in my fridge.
Anna,
my family loves it.
If this wasn't your studio, I would ask you to leave.
All right, continue.
And then you're going to take the feta cheese. Get ready, Anna. We're going to pour some of that right into the pan as well.
Mm.
And cook it all down together. That feta cheese will start to break down and kind of add this pungentness to it and creaminess to it. Then just serve it right over top of the rice. You can cook the rice like normal, or if you want to get crazy, add some veggie stock instead of water to the rice when you cook it, or chicken stock, whatever flavor you like. Adds a lot of flavor to that rice as you're going to eat it. And don't be afraid to also season your water. Believe it or not, I said that, Anna. Can you believe it?
You're going to add more salt to the water?
Yes.
Okay, making sure. I just wanted to make sure I got that correct.
It's a great chance to season the rice. So don't be afraid of salt. Come on, how are you? I can't believe you're yelling at me now.
I have a rice question because you brought it up. Should you be making your rice with chicken stock all the time to add flavor?
You don't have to, but you can do it with water too. It's fine. But like, you know, I usually add a little veggie stock to mine.
So if I put water in my white rice, right, just to cook it?
Yeah.
If I put a chicken bouillon, does that work too?
Yeah, sure. That chicken bouillon, I'm not sure how much bouillon it's supposed to make, but if the measurement is like one cube to one cup of, you know, bouillon, then yeah, it's probably fine.
Oh, okay. Asking for a friend.
Super easy. And remember with rice, a fun tip, doesn't matter what you measure it in. You know, rice is usually 1-to-1. So if you can use if you have a cup measurement 1-to-1, or if you have, you know, a coffee mug, as long as it's the same measuring thing for both, you're good to go.
Cindy, what do you think about that? You could do it?
Oh yeah, that sounds perfect.
You ever feel like you're living in make-believe world?
Every day.
Chef Plum is hanging out with me this week while Raven is on vacation. Plum, as a chef, I know that you know a lot about this. And this past weekend, my father gave me a hard time, too. Because my 5-year-old daughter admitted to me that she did something on the playground, and I freaked out last week.
Dakota, what did you eat when you were on the playground the other day?
Flower.
Why did you eat a flower on the playground?
It was an eating one.
Who told you it was an eating flower? Why would you listen to her when she tells you to eat a flower that's on the playground?
I just wanted to. She picked it and wanted to eat it.
And she did. She ate a weed on the playground that her friend gave her.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So you don't know what kind of flower it was, right?
Oh, it was an eating flower. Maybe you didn't hear her.
I'm sorry.
It was an eating flower.
I'll just add that to my notes here.
She actually brought me one after school yesterday because she wanted to show me.
Okay.
It was purple. It was a purple flower.
Yeah.
What? No. So,
is it a chive blossom?
I don't know. I picked one of these outside because I knew you were going to argue with me. You know, my father is a chef too.
Right. What did he say?
So he told me that when they came from Italy, that it was a big thing that they would go outside and they would pick these weeds, but they wouldn't pick the flower part. They would pick all like the bottom parts.
Yeah.
And they would saute it like an escarole. And that was what they would eat every night. And it was completely normal.
There's a lot of flowers and you know, invasive plants that you can eat for sure. There's a ton of them.
Yeah, but this is a 5-year-old. on a playground.
Well, her friend told her it was okay.
Oh, yeah. And I said to her, you know, my little one is an allergy kid. She's got every allergy in the world. I go, but you know, your allergies, I go, you're not supposed to eat things like unless mommy tells you it's safe. She knows I have allergies. Well, she knows.
Listen, I'm like, right, I think okay. Now you're scaring her to death. She's thinking she can't eat any of the eating flowers.
Right, she can't. No, but I was thinking about it, and I was like, everyone, this is always a thing. Like, you go to a wedding, and they use it as a garnish, and then there's the one person at the table who's like, I'll eat it, and they put it in their mouth. But who wants to eat these? I actually picked one outside. Here, eat it.
You want me to eat it?
Yeah, what is this?
It looks like a chive blossom from here. So it's a long green stem, like a chive or a green onion, right? And the very top has that purple, prickly little flower.
You would eat this?
If that's what it is, yeah, I think so. It looks like it. I'll eat it. Give it to me.
You're going to eat it?
Yeah.
I feel like we're in middle school right now.
I'm going to have the worst onion breath ever.
It's an onion?
Yes. Chives or onions.
Now it fell on the floor. Now you're going to eat it right off the floor. Go ahead, eat it.
I can't tell what color this is. I mean, let me just...
What if you get sick?
Then I guess I'll have to leave early. This is not a chive blossom.
What is it? It's a weed.
I'm not totally sure. Let's find out. I'm going to put it out.
Yeah.
It tastes a little...
Interesting that you eat the stem.
Or get the actual flavor.
Are you supposed to eat the stem or the flower part?
You probably eat all of it. Okay, so, wow. Do you have a goat back there? I think I'm hallucinating now.
In the parking lot?
No, I'm just kidding. It just tastes like grass. It tastes like weeds. That's nothing. It's fine. Like I said, there's tons of them. I mean, nasturtiums are beautiful. You can eat those. I mean, like I said, chive blossoms. You can eat those.
The only kind of flowers I want to eat are the zucchini flowers that my...
Ooh, blossoms are great.
Yeah, that my mom would fry. That's the only kind of flower I think is all right. And I think if your kid comes home and says, can I eat these flowers from the playground? The answer should be no. And you and my father can argue with me all you want.
Well, you did tell me a story recently about your daughter hearing voices in her bedroom.
That's true.
Maybe after eating the eating flowers, it all makes sense.
Oh, gosh. A lot of people heading to the polls, and the big question is how should you behave? It seems like a dumb thing to say because you should know how to behave, but as we've learned, that's not always the case.
Yeah, I feel like there's no right, there's no wrong. No matter what you say, someone's going to disagree with you.
Yeah, joining us, it's Karen Thomas. She is an expert in etiquette. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, I had to stop myself. I went to...
This is a regular daily occurrence for Anna.
Yeah, and the woman was... asking me, how do you know if you're registered to vote? And I was just like, you could go ask somebody, or you could just wait your turn, and when you get up there, then see what they say, you know?
Right.
Well, you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's people there to help you if you don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay, good. I did it. Yeah.
You did it. Hey, come on. Hey, nice job, Anna.
Congratulations.
Helping people out there. I love that. I love that. That's fantastic.
All right, give us some pointers on things that we should be doing as people are getting ready to vote.
Okay, so what the very first thing is, you when you go to vote, you should not wear any of the candidates' political attire, such as a hat, a T-shirt, a pin, anything that indicates any of the parties. You cannot wear that. They will not let you in the building. If you do get in the building, they will escort you out. That is something that they're not allowing at all. And that's been for years. So it's not just this year. And they enforce that mm-hmm. quite emphatically. Also, when you're in there, what you want to do is not talk politics. Don't ask somebody, hey, who are you voting for? Or, oh, you're voting for. Don't even get into the conversation. Keep that for outside of the building, way far away. And then again, you know, be polite. Maybe you don't like what somebody is saying or doing about politics, but again, do not engage. If you don't agree, you don't have to get into a heated argument or any of that. You can agree to disagree and walk away.
So basically, keep the chatter to a minimum and just comment on the sticker and possibly if there's a bake sale of what kind of brownie you'd like.
Exactly. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to be so rigid, Anna, but, you know, it really has come down to that. And people are really getting very, very upset in what's going on at the polling places. So we really have to make sure that we're on our best behavior. Go in, cast your vote, go out, and then go from there.
Etiquette expert Karen Thomas joining us, talking about how to behave tomorrow at the polls.
Support each other as Americans. Hey, we're voting. We're exercising our most precious freedom right now by doing this, whether you disagree or agree.
You're exactly right. You know what? tout that you've got your sticker that says, I voted today, you know, for the candidate that they chose. And everyone has their own thoughts. We have to remember that. But it's not up to us to criticize or become critical of anybody for any reason in the political process.
Let me ask you this. If I get three stickers, can I brag about that? If I have three I voted stickers?
Are you allowed to take three? Because I thought you were only allowed to take one.
What if I buy my own and just walk in there wearing them? Does that count as merch?
See, there you go. See, now he's got a plan. But then now people will point at you and think, oh, did he rig the system? Did he really vote three times? So I would suggest against that.
Well,
last time I had my girls were fighting. They both wanted my sticker because my big one, my high schooler, wanted to do like social media stuff with it.
Yeah.
And the little one just wanted a sticker.
Sure.
And, you know, so I was like, I'm going to rip it in half, you know, which is like the true mom thing to do at that moment. I'm going to rip it right in half. Nobody gets the I voted sticker. So
that's funny. But again, you know, remember when you go in, no political merchandise, keep the chatter to a minimum. Don't ask anybody what candidate they're voting for and be polite to the poll workers. Remember, they are there from 5:30 in the morning till around 8:30 at night. And that's a long day for them. And just be gracious.
Karen Thomas, you can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Raven is on vacation, so Chef Plum is sitting in. And it's funny because when I asked Chef Plum if he would be available, he said only if I could come on the air and tell you everything that's wrong with Jarlik.
Yeah, it's like a public service announcement I want to do here.
Okay. All right. I said, sure. At the time, I was like, whatever I got to say to make this happen so I could check it off my list. Great. But now I have to like follow through. One, let's start with this. What is Jarlik?
Jarlik is that stuff you buy in the grocery store. It's like pre-chopped garlic in a squeeze bottle or in a small jar that you can just spoon out and add garlic to your things. Well, kind of garlic.
Why are you so mad at it?
Because if you're going to have garlic, you should take it apart and use real garlic. You know, that Jarlik stuff, there's so much bad stuff in there. They add so much. It's basically pickled. I don't want pickled garlic. It tastes gross. Get rid of it.
I mean, I've used it so many times. I don't anymore because I know how angry it makes you.
I know
you.
This is your studio, Anna, but you have to get out now.
Oh, I have to leave.
I can't be friends with you. You're an Italian. What would your dad say to you if you told him you were using Jarlik?
But here's the problem is like, I guess I noticed this the other day at my mom's house on Memorial Day. I was in her pantry.
Right.
And she has like six like the big heads of garlic.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does she have so much garlic? And I know, I guess, because she cooks a lot, so she uses it. But I don't cook a lot. So the reason why I get upset is because I buy the head of garlic. And
right.
Then when I finally go to use it, it gets like that green inside.
The green stem, like it's starting to grow, right?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the stem of it. Like the garlic itself is like basically a bulb that you would plant and then it would grow, you know, out of the ground. The plant would. So what you're seeing is it beginning to grow.
But does that mean it's bad?
No, you can still eat that.
You eat that?
Absolutely. You ever heard of garlic scapes?
No, what's that?
Okay, so that's the top of the garlic when it grows out of the ground.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can get them like, you know, around this time of year.
And do what with them?
You chop them up. You can make pestos with them. You can saute them and put them on top of steaks. It's delicious.
Nobody's doing that. Okay, so let's go back to garlic. All right, so the garlic, let's talk about how long it can stay good. If it's just out on your counter or in your pantry, how long is garlic good for and how do you know it's gone bad?
Yeah, you're going to get a few weeks out of it for sure. As long as it's kept in a nice dry area, it'll last for a while.
Few weeks? Like two or like four?
Two or three, I think.
Oh.
Two or three, I think.
Okay.
And then how do you know it's gone bad? If those cloves feel soft, don't even bother with them. Just get rid of it.
All right, so soft cloves are no good. Now, I see a lot of grocery stores lately have been offering where you can buy them fully peeled. And they sell them in, like,
right.
plastic containers?
Yeah, like the peeled garlic. Listen, way better than Jarlik, but I watched a whole documentary once on how that stuff gets peeled. I don't want to get into it because it's pretty disturbing. I wouldn't buy it.
Who?
People, they do it with their mouth and stuff.
What?
Yeah, they peel the garlic with their teeth. And
no, they don't.
Who are these people that are peeling garlic
with their teeth and then selling it at the grocery store in plastic bins?
These other countries where it comes from, where it's grown and farmed in these massive fields, it's pretty disgusting. It's very upsetting.
Oh my gosh, who knew we had so much to talk about with Jarlik and garlic?
Jarlik just shouldn't be a thing in our world.
How about frozen garlic?
No, just use fresh garlic.
Okay.
Why are we looking for shortcuts? If you take some fresh garlic cloves and a zester, it's the easiest thing to do ever.
How about, I have a garlic press.
Okay.
But it makes a weird film inside when I press it.
So that's the outside layer of the garlic. It's fine.
What do you do with that? Because I throw it in the garbage because it scares me.
Throw it away or chop it up. It's not going to hurt you.
Okay. And if you burn the garlic, I have so many garlic questions. If you burn garlic, like you're making pasta, right? So you put a little oil.
Right.
You put your garlic before you start putting your sauce in there. But the garlic burns way too fast.
Yes.
Because you put the oil too hot. Do you have to start over or can you fish it out with a spoon? And then you just put more garlic in there. I'm not saying I've done that. I've done that many times. But I'm wondering what happens. Does it change the sauce?
I just want to put a camera in your kitchen and just watch when you cook. Because I think, one, it would either make me so angry, or two, I would laugh very, very hard.
So I'm going to say you don't do that.
Just don't burn the garlic.
All right. Sometimes it happens.
A little bit of burn's fine. A lot of burn's no good.
Remember the days when there was an election and you would know that night who was president? Seems like that's long gone. Joining us is Dr. Gary Rose from Sacred Heart University. He's a professor and scholar in residence. The big question we have is, why does it take so long to get the results? I remember being a kid and being in middle school, and we would have a map of the United States.
Right.
And then you would have to color it in each state as they announced it. Mm-hmm. And by the time it was bedtime, we were done. We had everything figured out.
Done
we knew
deal.
Who the president was.
I know. I wish we could go back to those days, particularly, you know, as one who will be on election night analyzing the results. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, of course, the types of voting that we have now. You know, mail-in voting, absentee voting is pretty extensive in some states. And then on top of that, of course, we have litigation that's going on now. And so I think that that's really the reason. It's really a confluence of developments here that just make it more difficult. I've been asked, are we going to know on election night? We might, but I also said that there's a possibility that it's going to continue on. And quite frankly, the one thing I'm hoping for is that it does not end up in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court like it did in 2000.
Well, especially because, you want the people's voice and their vote to count.
That's right. Absolutely. Sure. We want the people to speak.
Dr. Gary Rose, professor and scholar in residence at Sacred Heart University.
So, Doc, this is a question for you, and I don't mean this as a joke. We look at shows like American Idol where we call in and we vote. I mean, it just seems like we could do something along those lines to make this just such an easier process these days. Enter your social security number and you can put your vote in or something. It just seems crazy that we still have to do this very old-fashioned.
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, there are some election security issues there. I'm not sure. A call-in vote, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Why not? You can text your vote.
having the candidate stand up on stage.
Sounds great.
They should sing first. They should definitely sing first, and then we get to vote.
But I think that might be a little difficult. And you know, and you say, Social Security number and so forth. I could just imagine accusations of fraud and probably real legitimate fraud that's going on when we do that. But I hope we never go to online voting or, you know, as you say, use your Social Security number and then have like a quick random call in or an online vote. That would be, you know, subject to
a little scary, huh?
Yeah.
A little scary.
Foreign influence.
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
I guess you're right. How many times you watch American Idol and the guy wins, you're like, why did he win?
Because of Russia.
It must be Russia's fault. Hey, one more last quicker for me, Doc. Sorry.
Sure.
Is just the news stories about the ballot boxes being burned and things like that. How do we handle that with the people whose ballots were in the boxes versus the ones that got picked up already? How do we know?
Those votes are gone. Yeah, I know. I don't think you can get those votes back. And it really is tragic, I know. But yeah, no, I don't understand. I mean, why somebody, well, of course, maybe I can understand why some neo-terrorist would do something like that. But those votes, unfortunately, are lost, because when somebody processes their vote, it's over once in, and that's it. And so I feel so terrible for those people that had their ballots burned. But I think those votes are lost, from what I can tell.
That's awful. You know, there's so many states that offer early voting now. Do you think that benefits or hurts the candidates?
I would say it's probably parity right now with early voting. I don't think it's really helping or hurting one candidate over the other. I think it's equal out right now. So, it's a good thing, early voting. Originally, I was opposed to it, but now I understand, you know, with work obligations and so many people going different directions, this provides at least an opportunity to increase voter turnout in our country, and I'm all in favor of that.
Dr. Gary Rose, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand, why should I go to this wedding now?
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
The Couples Court is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. Lenny and Emily. Okay, Lenny, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
I'd like to, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I want to open up a restaurant like my grandfather. Back when we were growing up, he had this, in the 70s, he had a bar and grill type kind of place. It was kind of homey. It fit the neighborhood. Everybody, it was a place where everybody went, you know, kind of like everybody knows your name, and people love to come there to come to eat. And he was a great cook. And I grew up in the restaurant, you know, just helping out my grandfather. I've been in manufacturing for a while, and you know, it gets kind of cumbersome and tedious. So I just want to open up a restaurant because I'm a decent cook. My brother's a chef. He's got a restaurant, and you know, he's taking after the grandfather. And I'm thinking, you know, let me get out of here and let me try to just venture out on my own business. I'm in the phases of planning it, and I just want to open up a restaurant.
Anna, I got to chime in here. I have a very, very important question.
So Raven is out this week, and Chef Plum is filling in for him, and he's just standing there shaking his head. Plum, go ahead. What's
just
the problem?
The very first most important question. I get asked this all the time. People are helping out. Can you help us do a restaurant, et cetera? Lenny, how long have you worked in restaurants? Like legit worked in a restaurant? Like your mortgage, your rent depended on your restaurant?
I've never owned one personally.
Yep.
I just worked with my grandfather.
Next caller.
All right, Emily. Emily, why don't you want Lenny to chase his dream?
Because it is just one more, not harebrained scheme. I understand that it's very important to him. It has sentimental value, but he doesn't have the experience, as you guys just pointed out. And we have two young kids. This is not a good time. Like 2 and 4 years old, we really need to be focusing on them and making sure they have the best lives possible. And investing a ton of money into a restaurant, which he does not have the experience running, is just not a good use of our time and resources. I support him. I love him. I want him to do what makes him happy. But I also want to make sure that our kids are taken care of.
Listen, and Anna, you come from a restaurant background yourself. Your dad owns a restaurant. Like, your family has that. It's unless you're going to pay somebody else to run it, which is really hard to do.
You can't.
It
can't
just doesn't
anymore.
Work.
The overhead is too high.
It doesn't work.
So, you know, it's hard, Lenny, for me to chime in on this because, one, my father, even now in his 60s, works almost every single day.
80 hours a week.
A lot of hours on his feet. And there was many times growing up in my life, like, my dad never came to, like, a high school play or anything that I did.
Why not?
Because he was working.
He's working.
Right. And you work every weekend, and it's a lot of work. And
what's a holiday? Don't know. It's a busier day of the week.
Right. Exactly. But I don't want to say don't chase your dreams, because if you ask my dad, he would tell you that he loves what he does.
There's nothing else he'd rather do.
He's passionate about it.
Right.
He's had many restaurants over his life. He's got, you know, two now. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's hard for me to say not to do it. As a daughter, I would say, like, don't do it. But then again, I didn't have any bills after college. My dad paid for all my college bills, and he worked really hard, and he made a lot of pizzas to make that happen.
Right. I'll tell you, if it's a dream you have, it's something you want to do. Go just take 2 days a week and work part-time at a restaurant to see if you really, really want to do it.
But maybe you're wrong. If he wants to dive into this, is Emily the one to say no? What do you think? If your spouse came home with a dream like this, would you let them pursue it? What do you do when your husband has a dream? A dream that you think is going to basically cost your family a whole lot of money. And also, it's going to be a failure. Because that's exactly what's going on today with Emily and Lenny. All Lenny has ever wanted to do is open up a neighborhood bar and grill like his grandfather used to have in the 70s. And he thinks now, even though he has a successful job in manufacturing, he's definitely ready to give it up for this.
I'm all for people chasing their dreams, Anna, and I think it's important to go do. Just do the research before you do it. That's all. Do the research.
All right, well, you're also anti-doing it. I'm also anti-doing it. I think I've seen a lot of people fail at this. But if that's your dream, like, who is anyone to say to do it or not to do it?
1 in 6 make it. 1 in 6.
Yeah. Anthony, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
So I'm a career chef. I've ran many restaurants, and all I could say is that this guy's crazy.
Tell
he
him,
should
chef.
Not get into this industry. I have two young boys. I missed the first 2 years of my first son's life. I teach culinary arts now, so I'm out of the restaurant, but this guy should not do this.
That's what I'm telling him. It's a whole nother ball of gravy.
He wants to not see his kids ever again.
Yes, but doesn't every career have pitfalls too?
Yeah, but I think you should get the research done before you just decide to jump. Like, go work in a restaurant for a little bit.
The couple's court verdict. Powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. What do you do when you think that your husband's dream is going to bankrupt your family? kind of what's going on between Emily and Lemony. They have two young children, and he's always had a very stable job in a manufacturing plant. But it's always been his dream to open up a neighborhood bar and grill just like his grandfather had in the 70s. And he says, it's now or never. I'm not getting any younger. And he really thinks he can pursue it.
Yeah, it's a great dream. But Emily is just, you know, she knows we have a family established here. We've got a great life established here. Doing this could take away every bit of work that we've put in here. You know, restaurants don't always succeed.
And they certainly don't. Bobby, whose side are you on?
Yeah, I'm on Emily's side. I think it's a little too risky to follow his passion at this point.
Well, thanks for your call. But do you think it's because you think that he's already established in his career and he shouldn't make the leap, or just because restaurant business in general isn't what it used to be?
I just think it's because you have no experience. Like, that's a big, big leap. What happens is that your point of what's acceptable in your life then changes completely because of the business.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. My name is Jess, and my family owns Fritz's Snack Bar in Oxford. My grandfather opened it in 54. It's been there forever, but
wow, that's great.
He opened it in a great time where, like, you know, it was easy to do things. And my uncle told me, you know, when my mom passed, his sister, I had the same ambition. And he said, usually on most days you're breaking even, and if you're breaking even, you're doing well. Try to start that kind of ambition. There's two young kids or two kids. It's just not, especially with no experience. I mean, I grew up, I was serving coffee at 3, and he even told me that. So there's no way that is a smart investment at this time in their lives.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Emily, our audience agreed with you today. It's a great dream, Lenny, but like Chef Plum said earlier and a lot of the callers said, maybe working in a restaurant first to see what it's like, to see the kind of money that comes in. I mean, you said so yourself, your brother has a restaurant, to really talk to him and maybe work at his place and manage his restaurant part-time and then make a decision like that.
Well, I've worked with him for, you know, off and on and helped him out here and, you know, and there. But like I said, I grew up in it. I'm not saying we're going to do it like tomorrow. I did say it's in the planning phases, so I am doing my due diligence with it. But yeah, it's just something that's it's in my mindset. It's on my list. Yeah, like I said, it's just something I'm thinking about. And so I mean,
just know the audience isn't with you on it. The audience sided with your wife, Emily.
I'm used to that, so I'm okay.
Emily, you have to be happy to hear that, right?
It's a little bit of a relief to have that backup because we've had this discussion amongst ourselves for a little while, and I feel like I've been beating my head against a wall trying to get him to understand. So I'm glad that at least everyone else understands.
Yeah, Anna, you're too right. Nice. There's nothing to discuss here. This is a terrible idea. Don't do it. And I'm glad the audience says you shouldn't do it. This is a terrible idea.
All right, well, on that note, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
I have opinions.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Heads Up is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Raven will be back on Friday, and that Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is all the way up to $1,300. But all this week, I have Chef Plum in with me. We'll be playing Heads Up for Target gift cards. All right, Jeff, here's how it works. Chef Plum has 60 seconds on the clock. Now, because he has proved last week to be so good.
Champion.
At this game.
Number one draft pick.
How it used to be was that you would have to get 5 questions right. He would describe and give clues to 5 different things. If you could correctly identify 5, you would win the gift card. But now we're giving away these Target gift cards. And since he's proved that he is so good and kept bragging about how great he is, you have to get 6 in 60 seconds.
6 in 60 seconds? We can do that. Come on, Jeff. You and I, we're going to make great partners here. I promise you, you have a good teammate.
Let's go.
All right, so you have 2 categories to choose from, okay? The first category is all things election, or you can choose famous politicians, not including current candidates. Which category you want to start with?
I think I'm going to go all things elections.
Okay, all things elections. So I'll describe some things to you, and the answer is either one word or a small phrase. Is that right, Anna?
Yep, that sounds right. And remember, Plum, you can't use any of the words in the actual
I know how to
answer.
Play the game.
All right.
Come
okay.
on, listen, I've crushed this last week. What are you talking
about?
Let's
see. You need 6 in 60 seconds. Jeff, you ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, Jeff, on election day, we go and we cast a
vote.
Our votes are put on a
ballot.
Nice. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a
Republican.
If you and I are going to have a conversation, or two candidates are going to have a conversation, but they start to yell a lot, interrupt each other constantly.
Debate.
Nice. I love this. Okay. How about those the obnoxious signs that are
you
all...
You said signs.
Oh,
nope.
Shoot. Gotta skip that one.
No, too late.
Okay, here we go. So the two people who are running, they are the...
Candidates.
I'm not a Republican. I am a...
Democrat.
Oh, I definitely made these too easy.
Was that
40
easy?
Seconds.
Yeah,
40
come
seconds.
On. We could have got
That's
another
six.
One. I told you.
Yes.
I told you.
All
Jeff,
right.
You're a big winner.
Congratulations.
Right on.
All right. You won this Target gift card. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info. And if you want to play too, don't forget, text the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E, to 1-800-330-9999. Thanks,
I'm better
Jeff.
At this. I'm so much better at this game now.
You're
Let's
so
go.
Much better.
Thank you.
Let's
yeah.
go.
This is awesome.
Congrats, Jeff.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.